Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. All right. Today is one of those special days. We get to learn more about one of the consultants. I'm told there's over 100 consultants in this region. The 6 or 8 or 10 centers, I always forget how many there are, depending if you call the specialty centers or whatnot. There's over 100 consultants in this network. And part of the show is to introduce you to them. People like Ace Tarachian. How was that? Did I get even close to it here?
Yeah, that was great.
All right. That must be an Armenian name.
Oh, yeah. How'd you know?
There is a huge Armenian population in Southern California. I think mostly like around Glendale or Pasadena. Or
whatever. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know why I know that. One of the many facts I've picked up sitting in this chair through the years here. Ace, why did you join the SBDC and when did you join the SBDC?
Thanks for having me, Paul. I joined roughly around June of 2020. It was basically the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
At the time, just the prior year, I started my own business consulting firm, and I was thinking of, I would love to help out all these businesses struggling, and obviously you don't have much to do. I looked up and I found this position. I was like, oh, that sounds great. I would love to help.
I could do that.
Yeah, I could do that. And I think I got on a call quickly, and immediately they're like, let's sign you up because all these businesses need help. And I was like, yeah, I would love to help any way I can.
And what kind of work do you specifically focus on? I know you can do anything and probably do everything. But your background is what, business planning and business financing?
Correct, yes. Mainly business planning, business financing, raising capital, anything dealing with numbers and accounting stuff. That's usually my area of expertise.
Because before this, prior to this, you did a bunch of stuff in the medical industry, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, way, way back in the day, not that long ago. I was in healthcare, very much into it, all the way going to go to med school and everything, but then just decided to pivot, did some administrative work, did a lot of healthcare stuff like phlebotomy, paramedics.
Phlebotomy, then, what's that, blood or something?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just taking everyone's blood, basically, like a vampire. Then did my own entrepreneurial work. I was a business owner myself, started a lot of companies. Some did really well and I exited, and others more than not failed.
And the entrepreneur story.
Yep, yeah. Just exactly like everyone else, struggled, went through a lot, but learned a lot along the way. The successes, I praise the, everybody loves the success stories, but you got to remember the failures taught you a lot about.
Some people say you learn more from the failure.
Absolutely.
When it's a success, oh, that was easy. Going to Vegas, put money down. I'm a genius. I'm a natural.
I made money. Yeah. And then you realize, oh, can I replicate this? Can I do this again and again? After that, just did my own consulting, and that's where I am now.
So do you work full-time for the SBDC, or do you still work part-time or full-time for yourself and for other things here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's part-time, has become even more part-time now that my actual work has grown, and have my own firm and office in Glendale, if it's funny enough.
Glendale, see, I know it.
That's where most of my target demographic is. There's a lot of startup communities there and startup companies there, and so I help them out quite a bit.
So you get paid big bucks to do that, but at the SBDC, you volunteer sometimes. You get paid a little bit, but it's basically a give back and the same work. People can go to you. Do they, your clients in Glendale know they could go get this for free from the SBDC? Probably not here.
We focus on Orange County, Inland Empire, San Bernardino County.
And the difference really is because people ask this question all the time. Okay, so you've got like I do some podcasting work for the SBDC, but it's different than what I do here. Here I do it. We actually produce it and edit it and stream it. We can't do the work for you, but we can show you. We can guide you. We can lay a roadmap for you. You still have to do the work for you. You're not a full-time, you're not a free accountant or a free whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the main things. I know everybody wants like a fractional CFO on their team. We can't do the work for you, but I would love to empower you. I would love to teach you, teach a man to fish.
Yeah. And so if you need full-time work, he's got a full-time gig. But
if you're
looking for some free advice and some guidance and somebody to look over what you've done and tell you what you need and where to go, that's Ace. All right.
Absolutely.
Ace, is that your real – that can't be your name on your birth certificate here.
Oh, my parents wanted me to be really successful, so they tried to find a name.
Is that what it actually said? What they named you, Ace, or is that just the nickname?
No, it's a nickname. It started way back in grade school, I think. It started picking up. Full name, real name is Asador, and it's an Armenian name.
Yes.
Named after my grandfather, but then I think during like grade school, everybody just kept calling me Ace.
How did they spell Asador? So they don't know. They just say, hey, Ace. Okay.
I think it was just because I did pretty well in school, and then that just stuck around ever since.
Okay. I thought maybe you were a fighter ace in the war or something.
No.
All right. Let's walk through some of the work you've seen over the last few years.
Yeah.
First couple of years were rough. The SVDC was busier than ever because they're administering PPC loans?
PPP, yeah.
PPP loans. I always forget the acronyms.
Yeah.
But money to help support your businesses, and there were grants, and there were other sorts of things, and payroll protection things and stuff. All that kind of stuff you got into. And I'm sure people weren't prepared because they had to have some current taxes, or they had to do this and that and everything. So they're all rushing, where do I get this free money? And you're like, hold on there. You got to do something first. Did you help people with that? Was that a big part of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I joined the SBDC June, halfway through the year, and between June to December of that year, I think I got over almost 650 unique clients.
Yeah, it was that busy.
Wow. Everyone needed something, right? Everyone needed some money, some capital to get out of this. The biggest thing I remember doing was doing a lot of cash flow projection. And most people don't know what a cash flow statement is. They know what profit and loss is and maybe heard of balance sheet.
Cash flow is just guessing. I'm going to make $1 million next year.
So we had to do these projections to see, well, how much longer do I have to live or, you know, keep my doors open? And we did a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, okay, it looks like you'll be short this much in capital. Apply for PPP. There was that one. There was the EIDL loan, EIDL loan. That was very popular. Some grants here and there by the cities, depending on the city.
The state had some grants.
State grants.
Anything they could do to keep business afloat.
Absolutely,
I mean, it pumped a ton of money into the economy, which caused some inflation, as we've seen. But it was necessary at the time, everybody felt, and probably rightly so, to keep everybody afloat, because suddenly we can't go out, we can't converse, we can't meet, we can't operate our retail stores and whatnot here. Is any of that money still around? Is any of it still floating around? Is all that gone?
Yeah, unfortunately, all that government funding is pretty much a non-existent. It's been dried up, except for some minor like cities or
$5,000 grants.
Yeah, $5,000 maybe here and there for certain startups, but you have to meet certain criteria. There are all these other grants out there, but they're mostly like from nonprofits or associations. Not much, but super competitive to apply for.
And what do you see mostly now then for the work? The people who come to this Small Business Development Center, and you work out of which one? The Cal State Fullerton one?
Correct, the Cal State Fullerton.
Which I think is like the biggest, and that's where Mike Daniels is and the people who run it, right?
That's exactly.
So out of that center, I think that was the first one. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's certainly one of the bigger ones out there.
Yeah, it's the one that focuses mainly on just more general businesses, although there are specialty centers.
Right.
This is the one that pretty much covers anything and everything. It's a good stepping stone before you apply to go to the other centers.
Because there's a financial center like there is here at, we're sitting at our studio here at UC Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center, another long mouthful, and that's where the finance center is located here, where they do some really deep dive. How do you do different than the people like Craig at the finance center here?
Yeah, great question. I get asked that all the time. In fact, I do a little bit of most of what the other centers do, government contracting, financing, raising capital, the investors, and things like that. But the way I do it is more like the initial, just to vet the company, just figure out where you are and what you need to do, come up with those initial plans. Sometimes it's just too early to work with some of those other specialty centers. So we work on a lot of stuff like collecting documentation, making sure.
That's a big deal, isn't it? That's one of the problems. People just don't have the documents. Or the documents don't show, hey, I've been deducting everything. I don't show a profit. Well, you got to show some profit here. Or I do this and I haven't prepared it very well, or I don't know. I just hear that over and over again. It seems like everybody would just walk in, but I hear over and over people walk in with garbage or not much, and they all want some help. And Ace says, let's start sifting through this stuff.
Yeah, sometimes people just walk in and, do you have any money for us? And I wish we had a drawer full of money.
Oh, no, we're out today.
There's no money here. And it's not. And I know there's a lot of stuff about government giving money, and there used to be, but now it's now more with higher standards, and that's where we're just trying to sift through things to make sure it's presented properly. And then we go to Craig, and Craig reviews everything, and mm-hmm. then he helps find lenders for you.
Craig, if you go listen to the previous episode we did with Craig, talking about the specific work where he really dives into your tax returns yeah. and your profit and loss and your financial projections because you're trying to get a loan at a bank. Why can't I get it? And he says, here's why. It doesn't show enough stuff, enough history, enough profit, enough whatever. All of that is critical. And I don't think small, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think small businesses do a good job of accounting because they're not accountants. They got into it because they love cooking and they opened a restaurant. They love podcasting, so they have an internet radio station. Mm-hmm. They love something, and they love sports, and they open a sporting goods store. What do you see out there? Am I overstating this? Am I just projecting my own inadequacies onto everybody else here?
Are you saying your numbers aren't very good,
my
Paul?
My numbers stink.
That is very much the case where, you know, you are passionate about your craft and that's what you want to do. Nobody wants to do this other admin stuff. That's not what you got into this for, right? But it is a major part of running a business and being successful.
Clearly.
You don't have to necessarily know everything. You don't have to be an accountant. You don't have to be a CPA. But there's some general basic things just to know, maybe even revisit these numbers. And I know numbers are scary and everybody runs away from them. I happen to like numbers, but not everyone's that way.
I hate numbers. I hate all that stuff. When people want to show it to me, I put it off. I don't look at it.
Exactly.
People say, don't you look at your profit and loss statement? I said, I don't even do a profit and loss statement. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Even if I looked at it, that's another point. Not only do you not do it, I don't know what to do with it.
Exactly. And so that's where we can come in and help out and say, look, it sounds scary, but they're just numbers. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to do anything. just take a look at it. Here's how you read this. And just the basics, right? The simple stuff like, okay, here's revenue coming in. That's what this line item is. Here's expenses. And then you got net profit. That's not so hard, right? And then we can add more layers as we teach someone how to first walk and then run.
I'll give you a terrible example. Yeah. I love to use myself as an example. Maybe it'll inspire others to call you here. But I had a restaurant for a number of years, very successful restaurant, a couple other partners, called Kelly McHugh's, a big sports bar in Mission Viejo. And, boy, we thought we're knocking it out of the park. We're grossing $1 million a year, something big deal. Where's the profit? Where's the profit? And we'd get down to the thing, we're giving the booze away. We're giving it, we're pouring it heavy, and people are not tracking it. People are stealing it or drinking it or whatever stuff. Same thing with food. Until we brought a consultant in, because we didn't know anything about the restaurant and bar business. We knew something fun, and we had some money, and we wanted to invest this thing. And the concept took off. Except the more we poured, the more we lost, the more we sold. somebody had to really come in and say, you know what your food cost is? You know what your pouring cost should be, like 15 or 20%? You're like at 40% or something. Mm-hmm. You're giving a lot of it away, or it's walking out the door. You're not tracking it. You're not monitoring it. You have no way. You're just, it never occurred to you, just because the revenue is going up doesn't mean you're making more money, more profit.
Yeah, and exactly. Just visiting these numbers maybe at most once a month wouldn't hurt, just so you know you're on track, numbers are hitting where you want to be. And you mentioned your margins. Yeah, you're spending too much on this thing versus that thing. And we do that. We have access to a bunch of research platforms where we can collect or compare your numbers to other financial benchmarks in the same industry. That way you know if your spill rate is too high, then you need to curb it. And you keep that budget month after month, keep those numbers low. You just look at it and just say, yeah, you know what, this month is too high. Maybe we curb that. And that decision, and that's the thing with numbers, it helps you make better decisions.
And it helps you track things, because as somebody taught me along the way, employees respect what the boss inspects. Mm-hmm. If you're asking questions, where did this go, and our pouring cost is too high, and our goods are disappearing, or whatever metrics, whatever these, what do they call them? What am I trying to think of? There's a fancy term for this. Every accountant knows it. Your key performance indicators. Exactly. You come up with these KPIs. I've seen people, and I started with the SBDC. They had me track some, not you, but some other people. Right. And the first thing the SBDC consultant say was, what are your KPIs? And they'd look like, what? I got a business. I've been in business for 20 years. I don't even know what that is. Key performance indicators. What do you track? What do you measure? Nothing. How much money did I make? How much money did I bring in? And how much money went in my pocket here? That's about the only key performance. Don't you track
how many leads you close or how many leads you get, or what's your closing ratio if you're doing sales, if you're a restaurant or something, or you got inventory, how much of it is disappearing, how much of it is thousands of these KPIs, and people would just look like glassy-eyed. I probably wouldn't say, I don't track anything. Do most people track lots of KPIs? Are they good at this?
No,
big businesses do. But.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Again, numbers and data help you make better decisions. And the more you track it, the more you follow it, the better. But you don't have to sprint, right? We're asking you, let's start.
And I'm a baby. I need to crawl.
And then we'll hold your hand along the way. We'll empower you. We'll teach you. And then that way you can be successful, just all those other big box stores.
And you hold my hand to say it's not so scary.
Yeah, see, it's not that scary. Yeah.
All right. Give me some examples of scary stories or happy stories of people that you've seen over the last couple of years. Not where you're raising, you know, giving loans or whatever, but just general business consulting. You get them started on this look, deep dive into the strange world of numbers and metrics and things. Give me any examples where you said, wow, this is really bad or this is really good.
Yeah. So I'll start with a funny one. So there were ones who, you know, again, very much wide-eyed, right, glossy-eyed. They want to shoot for the stars, and they'll come up with an idea. And I work with a lot of tech companies, right? And so they come up, and I have the greatest idea since sliced bread.
Sliced bread was a pretty good idea when you think about
it. And it turns out, again, with being an entrepreneur, you love what you're doing. You love the idea. You came up with something. You want to make that billion-dollar company.
Oh, easy. And this is the idea that's going to do it.
That's the idea that's going to do it. And then it was one of those things where the numbers we looked at didn't add up. The projections were way too optimistic. And I love the enthusiasm, but the best way to teach them was more like, okay, you know what? I was trying to bring it down to reality, right? This is not realistic. It's impossible to hit these numbers within a month. You're not going to make $1 million within a month. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. And I was very nice about it, but it was more like, you know what? Maybe go out there, try this out, test this out, see what the market thinks, and then come back. If it works, great. You proved me wrong. I would love if you could prove me wrong.
Right.
If it didn't work, why don't we pivot a little bit? We're just going to shift focus, maybe look at the numbers a little bit more closely, see if we can make better sense of them. And turns out he was going to go straight to, I believe it was the state of California, directly the governor's office, and tell him, this is the greatest thing the state will ever
see. Without giving the name, but what was it, a service or a
Yeah, it was a service, and I'll give this away. It was more on electric vehicles.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, great, sounds like a great idea.
Hot idea these days, right?
Yep, absolutely. But still, we need to bring it down to earth a little bit. And so he went out there, he's like, he came back, he was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, they didn't pick up my calls, and when they did, I did tell them, they said, no, it's just, it's not the right fit. It doesn't seem right. And and they were a little bit more brutal than I will ever be.
Oh, the marketplace. That sucks. That stinks. You're not ready. You can't do that.
Yeah, and they were harsh. And so it didn't work out. And then say, okay, you know what? Let's get back to slower. Let's slow down a bit, right? We want that major milestone, but let's not leap. Let's make small stepping stones to get there. Let's see what those are. And then slowly enough, he was able to see, okay, you know what? This is working a little bit more. They pivoted a little bit more from their original idea, and it was so much more successful, and I'd love to see him grow and continue.
There you go. Three things. I'll give you three things I've heard through the years. One, from venture capitalists. Mm-hmm. Pivoting is key. You think this is the product, this is the service, this is the app, this is the thing. You got in the marketplace, say, I don't really like that, but we're interested in this. Give us more of that. This other thing you can keep, but I'm curious about what you developed here or whatever. Maybe it could be used in this way instead of that way. That idea of pivoting. And that's hard to do. No, I made this for them, for restaurants. I'm not going to give it to electric vehicles, whatever this app is, this service, this idea. But many times the market says, not what you thought, but here's an idea. I like something you got, but it's not this other thing. So pivoting is key. The second thing, and that's hard to do because you've really invested your life. No, I'm not going to quit. This is the thing. It's not the thing. Sorry, the famous story of the 3M lets their research scientists apparently fool around with stuff, and one of them came up with this really weak glue. It couldn't come up with an app used for it. It was sticky, but it wouldn't stick too well, and they finally. So if he had stuck with his original idea, he would have given up on it. But somebody else took it and pivoted and said, it's a really bad glue, but it's really good for, like, sticky notes. Mm-hmm. Why don't we make it sticky notes? Because it doesn't stick very well, and it doesn't leave a residue behind. So the original purpose he created for was a flop, but the product turned to have an application that he never foresaw and somebody else saw. That's the people like Ace that say, maybe it should be, have you ever tried this? Pivoting is a big one. And the other one I hear all the time is, are you really ready to do this? What if the state had given him $100 million or something like he was hoping? Could he really go out and deliver? Could he produce it? Or would he fail and flop? Sometimes people aren't ready, and the people say, great, I'll give you a big order, and now what do? I can't make it. I can't deliver it. I can't support it, all that kind of stuff. And the success kills the business. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. So I also dabble in helping clients with obtaining government contracting, right?
Yeah.
And that sounds great, right? The government has millions of dollars.
Billions
giving away,
of dollars.
Billions of dollars. And you're trying to apply for a contract where it's a very large order, right? And they'll deliver, but the way certain things work, they'll pay net 30 or net 60, meaning...
Or longer.
Know, or yeah. longer, yeah.
And I need the money now. I paid all these people to make this. I shipped
exactly.
it to you, and I came out of my pocket, and now you're going to take 3 months, 6 months to pay me back? I can't wait that long. I'm out of business.
Exactly. And before we jump into it, we look at the numbers, makes sense. Can you manage an order this large? Do you have the resources, the staffing? Do you have the capital? You'll need some additional capital, just as you rightfully mentioned, Paul, where cash flow. Do I have enough cash to pay everybody all this overhead before the government pays me 2-3 months out?
Yeah.
So that's 2-3 months of I have employees to pay for, I have expenses to pay for. Rent to pay for. Who's paying for that?
I got to pay the people I ordered the supplies from
exactly.
and everything else here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that pivoting is one. Are you really ready for that kind of success? Success can kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, of course, is you get into this, and do you really know how to do it? I got an idea. Now, how do I take that and turn that into a reality? Do you really know the mechanics? Do you need the licenses? Do you ever thought about you got to get this special permit, like opening a bar and a restaurant? What a nightmare. We thought, how much fun would that be? Let's just go rent a space. Oh, my God, we got to get a conditional use permit.
Uh-huh.
We got to get a liquor license. We got to get a health permit. We got to do all these other things. I knew nothing about any of that kind of stuff. So it was a real learning curve, a hard learning curve. What we didn't know.
Exactly.
And sometimes you got to go to somebody and say, did you know this? And that's ace, who can say, that's a great idea, but do you know you're going to need this? You might need this. Do you know how to do this? And you go, no. So do you ever see that where people want to jump in? I know bar and restaurant world, but other worlds where they jump in and all of a sudden they need something they didn't even anticipate?
It's the same for business is business, right? Like it has the same concepts, operations, marketing, numbers. I know you don't like that, Paul.
I hate that last one.
But that one's
say
important.
That one softly, yeah.
Numbers. It's still the same, regardless of industry, right? But it's really good to have someone like, because you could be in your own bubble, right? It becomes like an echo chamber where you just keep hearing the same things and you don't know what you don't know. But always getting a third person perspective who's an expert in industry out in the same line of work or
yeah.
understands perhaps things.
Been there and done that.
Been there, done that. It might help just bounce off ideas, almost like a sounding board, and maybe validate a lot of things. Or say, you know what, do it a little bit this way. And even that little advice I've seen, and not just me, and I've seen all these other consultants within our network. Sometimes they give that one little advice of experience mm-hmm. where it was, oh, wow, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
and
never
you're right.
Of
like,
that.
Just maybe you, Paul, with the spilling. I have a consultant on our team where he owns bars, multiple bars in different states. Same thing. I've seen his numbers. And I was like, wow, that's really good at these numbers and keeping track. Not once has, as an owner, gotten free beer from his own bar shop.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh,
his own bar. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
We had to go and tell because there were three partners, and we were all buying drinks for our friends and our
exactly,
family. And then we
right,
had to
right.
really sit down and say, maybe
yeah.
we don't do
maybe
this.
Maybe we don't do this as much. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And if we do, let's have an item in the computer that says, and then we can track, oh, Paul gave away this much and
yeah.
Joe didn't, something here. Yeah, all that stuff. I remember I forgot his name. I'm sorry, off the top of my head, I'm blanking. But very well-known consultant in the network here who focuses on restaurants. And I think he's out of the Riverside office, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong on that, too. But anyway, mm-hmm. the point of the story is he's, as they say, front of the house, back of the house, been the chef. He's been the front guy. He's mm-hmm. been the management. Been all this stuff, owned restaurants, worked for big chains, all this stuff. And his funny story was somebody had a little sandwich shop, and they made the best sandwich in the world. They really loved this sandwich. They were a cook, and this is a killer sandwich, and people came for it. And every time he added it up, he said, let me break it down, all those little pieces. You got tons of stuff in there. It's a really good sandwich. It's really fully loaded. Mm-hmm. Do you realize you're losing money every time you sell one of those things?
Mm.
You've got so much stuff in there, and you're pricing it so low, you're losing money. No wonder everybody's buying it. It's a deal.
Yeah.
And no wonder you're in trouble. Because the more you sell, the more you lose.
Yeah, it's very eye-opening. Was it Greg Bell by any chance?
I think it was.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, yeah.
Good friend, good colleague, yeah. Wiz at restaurants. And
see, you knew that. Yeah. One of the things I think we don't know enough within the network, I'm always encouraging the other consultants to tune into these podcasts, not just for the outside public. Hey, look what we can do and look who we got. I don't know. I didn't know there was somebody like you in the network. I've seen you at awards. You've won some awards, haven't you, or something here?
Not very good ones, no.
You got called up to the podium a couple of times.
Yeah, I've gotten a few awards. Yeah, I appreciate it.
No, there are people that really know what they're doing out there and have serious backgrounds in some. We have, who's the woman whose name, no, I'm blanking on all these names here, who was in charge of leasing for the Brea Mall.
Oh, was it Carrie Armstrong?
Yeah, well, you know you better than I do here. Carrie Armstrong, she was on. Wow, if you want to talk about leasing, here's somebody who ran leasing for a huge mall.
Yeah,
you want to know the ins and outs of leasing and what goes into it. Lots of people like that, people with serious skills like Ace here today. How do people reach you if they want to find out? Do they just go directly to your center? Do they go to the main SBDC number? Any, all of that? Where do you send people?
Yeah, there are obviously hundreds of consultants within our network, different backgrounds, different languages, different areas of expertise. Go straight to the SBDC, the local one. We cover, again, Orange County, Inland Empire, San Bernardino County. Go there, and you can just go straight and type in whatever the need is, whatever the cause is.
And they'll send you someone.
And they'll send you someone who's your expert. If you do want to ask for me, you're more than welcome to. You can go straight.
Let's say they speak Armenian. Sure. I don't know if that's a problem.
That's something
Armenian?
I can help with, too. Yeah. if you need help with financing, or you have a tech startup, or you need help with raising capital, business planning, I'm happy to help with that. But like I said, we have plenty of consultants within our network with different specialties. And here's the thing I always say, if I'm not the right person, I'm happy to refer you to anyone else. You have access to all of us.
Yeah.
We are all here to help you.
I think
you,
that's really true, because I've had people call up and say, hey, I really know business, but I don't know podcasting, and somebody's thinking of doing this. Can they talk to you? I say, sure. Or I've done the same thing. Hey, I really don't know about something, and I'll find somebody in the network that does.
Right. I actually
franchising
had a client,
or something.
I had a client who was actually asking for, I'm trying to start a podcast. What kind of microphone should I buy?
See?
I was like, oh man, Paul,
I'm going to talk to the guy.
If I knew you earlier, I would have been, back when I started, I would have been like, oh yeah, Paul's the guy.
And that is the problem, because we've got six centers plus some specialty centers. There is a contracting center, a finance center, some other kinds of specialty centers out there. We've done shows. Go back and you can see a bunch of them in there. I don't think, and some of them are way out in the Coachella Valley or something. We may not know each other. We only see each other once a year. Like I've seen Ace when he walks up and gets the big award. Everybody's saying, Ace, he's the guy. Thank you for coming in here today, all the way from Fullerton. I know it's a drive down from, do you live up, or you live up in Glendale?
I live further up in Los Angeles, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for driving down to the OC here and coming to see us. And anything, can you really speak Armenian?
Do
you
I do. What would you like me to say?
Take us out. Say something goodbye in Armenian or something.
All right.
Or have a nice day in Armenian. So, whatever you say.
Pari jamans.
Okay, hopefully that was
Shad
nice.
Shad habardem hoselu.
Okay, hopefully you didn't just call me a dirty name.
No, I said all the bad words.
This guy, he doesn't know. All right, thank you so much, Ace, for coming up. Thank you for playing along and having fun with us here today. I know you're well thought of in the network. I've seen you really get some awards, and I thank you for coming in today and showing us what you do and what you have done and how you might help people through this amazing network we call the Small Business Development Centers. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Paul, for having me.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.